It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Hour number 3 here on a Monday afternoon on Danny and Dusty. No Dusty, Will Ortner in, Jeff Rust behind the glass. Whether listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080inthefan or Twitch.tv/1080inthefan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. And I want to get to the scourge of tanking. It is a viable path in the NBA. And it is mathematically the best possible thing you can do. And no, if you're arguing against that, the math doesn't really add up. But Tim Bontemps and Kevin Pelton have an article out on ESPN right now. We brought Pelton on the show on Friday, and a lot of the analytic modeling stuff that KP does factors in basically like EYBL, college, and projection style metrics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to have KP on specifically to talk about Cooper Flagg, because him and I had texted back and forth, and the idea of generational prospects. The whole idea of a generational prospect is that they're supposed to come across once a generation. Like Victor Wembanyama is a generational prospect.
Right.
Fortunately for the NBA, Cooper Flagg is a generational prospect. And just how generational is he? Well, using the modeling that KP has, okay, these are the top number one picks by Warp, the wins adjusted metric that these guys have, or excuse me, the wins above a placement player that they project to. Okay. The top number one picks by Warp since 2000, and I believe it's 2005, his goes back to. Was it 2 weeks ago, the Sloan Analytics Conference, which is where all the dorks all come together? It's a big dork off. It's the smartest people in the sports world.
Right.
This is where their work papers come from. They pitch and they get hired and work in black boxes for the NBA or the NFL, NHL, that kind of stuff. But one of the conversations was about, is Cooper Flagg a generational prospect? And according to the Warp projections of Kevin Pelton's, the number one Warp adjusted player, and then what factors into this is obviously the statistical outputs, but also age and projection. Number one is Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
Since the last 20 years.
Well, I mean, he was The only person that has ever been able to stop Zion Williamson
is
Zion Williamson. Yes. When
and what he's been doing the last couple weeks has been insane.
But again, he's shown stretches, mm-hmm. at least that showed you that he could be that mm-hmm. when he wasn't drinking too much Coca-Cola and eating too much and being fat.
Around the wrong people. Number two on this list. And again, this is just number one picks. This isn't overall players. This is number one picks. Number two on this list is Anthony Davis. Number three is Cooper Flagg. Number four is Kyrie Irving. Number five is Blake Griffin. Six is Andrew Bogut. Seven, Greg Oden. Eight, Karl Anthony Towns. Nine, Victor Wembanyama. 10, Ben Simmons.
How is Wemby nine? Is it because of the offensive game?
Lack of data and being, the second oldest player, third oldest player in this group, because he came into the league at 19.3 years old. Okay. Cooper Flagg, as I believe the youngest overall player in this group at 18, he'll be 18.
Yeah, because he reclassified. He's supposed to be a senior.
Him and Jeremiah Fears at Oklahoma State should have been high school seniors. Fears is the only player in college basketball younger than Cooper Flagg. I believe he's a November birthday. Cooper's a December. Incredibly young. And that's what made Oklahoma, what Fears is doing, make a lot of people go, ooh, he's a lottery prospect.
Yeah.
But the stats-based projection for Cooper Flagg basically says he's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody I just listed out in there, Greg Oden's injuries notwithstanding, and Ben Simmons' craziness notwithstanding, every single one of these players has been phenomenal. And some people are like, well, Andrew Bogut? I'm like,
he was awesome.
Andrew Bogut was a monster.
He was awesome. And he was probably the final piece for that first championship in Golden State. Now, I do want to push back on one thing.
Mm.
Ben Simmons was awesome.
Oh, no. As I said, I wasn't putting Simmons in that because Simmons was incredible. Because,
like, Oden.
That was the craziness. That's all that is.
Oden, you have to take out.
Yeah.
Injuries. Ben Simmons was awesome in the league.
Ben Simmons was a three-time All-Star in his first 3 years?
He was on the first team All-Defense.
Yes, he
was All-NBA.
It's all between the ears with him. It's not a talent production thing. Like, we saw what he could be.
He started caring about other things.
Or not caring at all. That's another discussion. But the whole idea of tanking is, in that group, I mean, you look at these guys, and there's a real difference. Look, I think Paolo Banchero is going to be a very good player, but there's a very real difference between the projections of a guy like an AD or a Cooper Flagg or a Zion as opposed to an Anthony Edwards, a Paolo Banchero, and again, guys that are very good. Like, mm-hmm. those are all-star and potentially all-NBA level players. But projection-wise, Cooper projects as, God, I can't believe this, projects as a Hall of Fame caliber player.
Right.
Which is an insane thing to say about a guy that's never played in the NBA. And that's what drives tanking in years. Nobody was really tanking last year. Not in the sense of, like, the egregious stuff.
You're because talking the Washington Wizards, where they willfully out of the gate.
And you're now seeing the soft tanking that we're getting, where to avoid fines, the Scotty Barnes with the Raptors, mm-hmm. Alex Saar with the Wizards, guys that should be playing.
Guys
that
yeah,
are playing 22, 23 minutes, and then, oh, they're not there to close games.
Yeah,
weird.
They're resting. They're tired.
I want to get more in this, but we're up against it. I want to dive into now that we kind of know why their teams are tanking.
Yeah.
What they can do to potentially get out of it, what they can do to change it, and the NBA's willingness to do so. We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The scourge of tanking is something that I think is not as forefront on the minds of the NBA as fans probably want it to be. Tim Bontemps and Kevin Pelton have an article on ESPN right now that dives very heavily into this. We mentioned on the show the other day, was it Thursday or Friday, the fix that I have heard that I think is the best, which is the assigning of lottery points. Basically, teams that are tanking get points for each win they get against teams above them in the standings. So it's even though you keep the lottery odds the same, but this makes it so when Washington and Utah play, it's more valuable to win. Therefore, your players play. That's the name of the game, playing basketball.
Right.
And that's from Keith. He does the Grit and Grinds podcast for the Memphis Grizzlies, Fast Break Breakfast. Great, great, great dude. And it's a great idea. He came up with this, I want to say, like 3 years ago. And it's an idea that actually does pop up in this article. These are the solutions that have been discussed. These are various executives in the league that are anonymous, but knowing Bontemps and Pelton, they're very highly placed sources. One of them is to flatten the lottery odds even more, which is what we got away from because the Orlando Magic were a 500 team that won the lottery and got Shaquille O'Neal.
Right.
You don't want the Boston Celtics getting Cooper Flagg. It's not good for the league.
Might be good for the Boston fans. It's like Bill Simmons just called in.
Yeah, you don't want the Thunder getting Cooper Flagg.
Right.
That is a terrifying proposition and not good for the league. The NBA is still trying to do what the NFL has done, which is get more parity in the league, more cyclical, so you have different title winners, because you've got the Lakers and the Celtics who both have 18 titles. And if you flatten the lottery odds and you make it to where good teams can get these great players by luck of the draw, it's a problem, because then the bottom teams are going to continue to be at the bottom, because there are natural disadvantages in the NBA that are not there necessarily in the NFL. Small markets in the NFL have been successful for a very, very, very long time. Green Bay Packers.
Right.
Pittsburgh is not this massive market. Like, you don't have to be New York.
Smaller than Portland, I believe.
You do not have to be New York, LA, Dallas, Chicago to be successful NFL.
To be fair to the NFL, one player doesn't make as big of a difference.
Yes.
Like in the NBA,
yes, if one player
if one player comes to a team, I mean, look at LeBron for the beginning part of his career. If LeBron goes to a team, they instantly become relevant. I mean, he's literally won a title in every organization he's been a part of, right? Like, I know Paolo wasn't on your list of guys who, you know, projected as being an NBA Hall of Famer.
He's on the list, but he's literally at the bottom.
He's not on the top 10, yeah. Right? The Magic have been light years better mm-hmm. since adding him. Like, they had Mo Wagner, who's very good. Adding Paolo was completely different. I mean, look, Cleveland and adding Donovan Mitchell. Cleveland and adding Kyrie, yeah. Right? There's lists. Blazers and Dame.
Yes. When and it's not necessarily just number one overall picks, because there's the Jokic's, the Giannis's, the Draymond Green's, you know, I mean, guys that are, you know, either end of lottery in Giannis or second round picks in Jokic and Draymond Green that are, I mean, Davidson with Steph Curry, small school guy. It was like, I don't know. His ankles are broken, and then like all of a sudden they're magically healed, and now he's great. And Klay Thompson's like, what, the 11th overall pick? It doesn't necessarily have to be the first.
Steph not even their first point guard taken in that draft?
No, there's 3 point guards taken in front of him, and two of them right. went to Minnesota.
That's what it was. I was like, there was a team that took 2 point guards in
Johnny Flynn.
Dude, I thought he was going to be so good. Yeah. I loved him at Syracuse.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
He had the headband. He was cool.
Look, man, there have been 2 players that have come out of Syracuse recently that have done more than expected.
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony and Jeremy Grant.
Fair.
Michael Carter-Williams, you know, rookie of the year notwithstanding. You know, it's kind of how it goes. But we've kind of already gone through some of the other changes, but one of the ones that I love on here is, how about you just enforce the current rules? The line here is, some people around the league believe the current system is fine. Bad teams exist, and fighting for lottery positioning is just part of the sport. But with the onset of teams trying to sink to the bottom of the standings, some sources argue that cutting down on the influx of teams sitting healthy players would fix many of the current complaints rather than tweaking the system any further. How about we just start there? Make it to where it's impossible for these guys to rest these stars, and you just are naturally what you are.
Mm-hmm. How do you enforce that, though?
Find the living hell out of them.
Yeah, but so playing devil's advocate.
But yes, it's the medical stuff. Advocate. Oh, he's not healthy. Prove that he's not healthy.
Where does that come in line with? So then, because if you come into that where you are saying, hey, you have to prove that he's not healthy, that can drastically affect injury reports. You can't lie on those anymore. I mean, I know the NBA, there's not necessarily lying, but there's not complete truth telling. The NHL is the biggest offender of this. Can you truly enforce that? Or can, you know, a medical staff member just go, hey, it's a 2-week injury. And now you don't get him for 2 weeks, but he gets the 2 weeks off that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you able to do that? That now, does the team come in and fine him or fine the organization? Because that player is out, and they are out for a legit reason. They have the legit injury. Instead of making it 1-2, they've just said, no, you're going to take the full 2.
The whole...
How do you come down on them for that?
There's no clear-cut answer. But the soft tanking stuff, like we've seen from the Wizards and the Raptors and the Jazz, it's just nasty work.
Right, because you're right.
I've said flat out, if you're just going to do it, say it with your chest. And look, the Blazers did it when they had
John the 76ers did it.
Yeah, I mean, they
trust the process.
Well, that's why this stuff is the lottery odds got changed in 2019 because of the hinky 76ers.
Right.
That's why they flattened the odds a little bit, was to take some of that stuff away,
right,
and not make it so nasty.
And I think Russillo has a good point on this, though, because he talks about it all the time, where Hinkie straight up said, how many times have we said, hey, I wish you'd just be honest. Be honest, be honest, be honest. I've said it, you've said it, everyone has said it.
Say it with your chest.
Be honest. And Hinkie was like, I am going to tank. I am going to bring players in that are too old
Exploit
or not good enough. And I am going to make sure that I get all these top picks. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he did that, it was, wow, I can't believe he's doing this. He outright said it. How dare he? He's trashing the game. He's changing the game. This is garbage. And then the craziest thing of all, it didn't work.
Well, it doesn't
you
guarantee...
You didn't get to an Eastern Conference finals.
It doesn't guarantee success because you still have to draft the right players. So we'll wrap this up here. Over the last 45 years, 5 title-winning teams weren't led by a player who would win or had won the NBA's MVP award. Last year's Celtics, which, as great as Tatum is, I don't think he's ever going to elevate to winning an MVP. I could be wrong there, but I think that's where it's going to go. The 2019 Raptors with Kawhi, which you could very easily argue he was the best player on the planet for 3 months. And then the Detroit Pistons in 89, 90, and 04. Among the remaining 40 teams, you take those 5 out of the 45.
Mm-hmm.
One of the following 14 players was a member of at least one of those title teams. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Julius Erving, Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaquille O'Neal, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, Dirk Nowitzki, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Giannis Antetokounmpo, or Nikola Jokic. Five of those 14 players, Magic, Olajuwon, Shaq, Duncan, and LeBron, were taken first overall. Only four, Kobe, Dirk, Giannis, Jokic, were picked outside of the top seven spots. One singular player, to your point, changes anything more in the NBA than any other sport. Baseball, hockey, NFL. Because it's played with five players at a time on each side, one player and their individual greatness sets it apart, which is why there's teams that when they look at a draft and they see a Cooper Flag and they run their own numbers on it and they see this guy has the potential to be an all-NBA and all-time great. They see a Victor Wembanyama and they go, this guy has the potential to be an all-time great. A franchise-defining player. That they do that. But as I said earlier, the analytics guy in me gets this, understands it. I have campaigned for it. But we have got to get to a point where the actual games matter every night.
And people are playing. Because
that's the name of the game.
It's why we had the conversation in hour two. It's why the younger generation, myself included in
tune out,
have started to go back to college basketball. Because
the games matter.
The games matter. Everyone's going to play. And because of NIL, most of those guys who 5 years ago, 6 years ago, hey, I'm good enough. I'm going to get, even though I'm a day two draft.
I'm a scratch and claw because I'm going to go get that money.
Right. They're all staying there. Zakai Ziegler is staying at Tennessee, right? You go down the list. Carabin, Alex Carabin, turned down the NBA.
He was a fringe first round pick last year. And I've got him basically in the same spot, but I heard he got quite a bit to go back to UConn.
He stayed, right? Like, you go down the list. Kentucky's point guard, name escapes me right now.
Butler.
Thank you.
The San Diego State transfer.
He's been awesome. Yeah. He was awesome at San Diego State.
That's why Kentucky is where they are with Pope and bringing in a bunch of fourth and fifth year guys.
Janiah Broome. You have all these players that are staying and they're playing, and that's why you're seeing a college basketball renaissance. The coaches are fun. The college basketball players are staying.
The product's better. Because guys are staying and playing.
The games mean more. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the NBA, I have a lot of buddies that are like, now's when I start tuning in.
Yeah.
Because it's almost playoff time.
And that's a problem because there's a big chunk of the schedule where you just go, meh, whatever. And if you're going to devalue it even more and say the regular season doesn't matter even more for 5 to 8 teams, almost a third of the league, that's a problem.
Yep.
All right, we're going to flip it back to college basketball. We'll dive into the games, the Sweet 16 matchups that we have coming up. Was it Wednesday now? And
Thursday.
God, my days are all messed up. And the madness of it all. But first, it's the Big Kahuna Sports Center Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
We did, in fact, have some good college basketball games this weekend. Obviously, the Maryland-Colorado State game is going to carry the day. When you have a buzzer-beating game winner from Derek Queen. But beyond that, you did have good basketball being played all weekend long. UConn, Florida comes down to a 2-point game. Duke Baylor, not a good game. Duke had that one in hand. As soon as Amir got in foul trouble for Baylor, it started to unravel very quickly. VJ Edgecombe had himself quite a game. And I've seen and talked to scouts in the NBA that can see VJ Edgecombe end up going number 3 overall in the draft. But my God, is Duke an absolute unit? I mean, it goes without saying, but we just talked about Cooper Flagg and his prospects going forward. Flagg at 18 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and a block in 29 minutes on 5 of 11 shooting. Tyrese Proctor is kind of the unsung veteran, as it were, of the Blue Devils. In 31 minutes, 9 of 10, 7 of 8 from 3, 25 points. Con Knipple, just a ho-hum, 4 of 5, 2 of 3 from 3. I mean, they just... they're obliterating teams. They're absolutely annihilating teams.
Unbelievable right now with what they're doing. And you backtracked, what, 2 weeks ago is when, around today? Maybe
Three weeks ago
is where he turns his ankle. Yeah. 3 weeks ago in the first game of the ACC tournament, your best player turns his ankle. One of your better defenders tears his labrum. He's done.
Yeah, Malik Brown's done. Yeah.
This is not, like, this Duke team, what they're doing, they're not 100%. This isn't their full strength team. And they are running through their opponents. And I get it. They played whatever, Mount Union State or whatever their name was.
Mount St. Mary's.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ran through.
But that's what you get as a one seed.
You played Baylor, which they've been a very up and down team mm-hmm. this year. They weren't what you thought.
Inconsistent offensively, right? For sure.
You dominate them.
Yeah.
They're going to go up against an Arizona team, and I get it, man. Caleb Love kind of is a little bit of the Duke killer from mm-hmm. back in his days at UNC. I wouldn't be that scared. They're a 9. I just had it pulled up. They're a 9-point favorite in that game, mm-hmm. I believe. 9 points. And I'm tempted to take Duke. They're playing good defensively. Right now, when you look at them in KenPom, they have a top one offense. Mm-hmm. No one's better.
The best offense of the country.
Defense is fourth.
We had Dave Bartu on Friday.
They're unbelievable.
We talked about Thursday, and they are the only team in the country that is top 10 in both offense and defense. They're the only team in the country that is top 20 in offense and defense. And the thing that has ruled the day, defense wins championships, yada, yada. Offense wins titles in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Point blank. Guys who can put ball in hoop because you were vulnerable. See Houston, which is why they scare me, because they are inconsistent offensively, as good as they are defensively. And Kelvin Sampson has built himself a powerhouse at Houston. They are continually and always going to be good. Very much like how I believe Rick Pitino is always going to build teams. But they are vulnerable because in the half court, that is where these games are won. You're not playing, like, you're not forcing turnovers and getting out. And like, when you talk about teams that are Cinderellas that make runs, what happens? They rain down threes.
Or a player starts shooting above what their percentage was. They're making baskets. When you look at, you're talking about those teams that went on big runs, the San Diego State team. Lamont Butler started hitting shots. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, he could defend mm-hmm. as a guard in a way that those teams were not used to. I mean, his shot against Miami in the Final Four, it's the best Final Four shot that probably we've seen in the last 5 years, 10 yeah. years. Like, I'm not counting the Villanova UNC yeah. yeah. title game, right? You take that one out, that's a title game that isn't one of the last two games.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable the shot that he hits yes. in a high pressure situation. By the way, he's still in this tournament.
Yeah, he is, for Kentucky. And again, 7 SEC teams make it to the Sweet 16. Turns out the SEC was really damn good.
Yeah, and honestly, one of the streakier teams in Arkansas made it. They look awesome. They got healthy at the right time. Healthy enough.
Unfortunately for when I have it, Rop, they went up against Kansas.
That Kansas team wasn't good.
No, they weren't. Cooper Flagg's the best defensive player in college basketball. Boogie Fland, the freshman point guard for Arkansas, is the best point of attack defender in college basketball. They just got him back off of a hand injury. He missed 2.5 months. He was instrumental for Arkansas in the final 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Every time Kansas tried to attack him, it was a deflection or a steal or a loose ball. It was 4 or 5 different possessions in the final 3 minutes where they attacked Boogie Fland, and Boogie said, "Nah, dog.
Yeah.
I ain't the one."
Well, that's why it was such a big deal when he was hurt. That's mm-hmm. why it was such a big deal when he came back. And they might get their second best scorer mm-hmm. back for the next round. Like, people forget that. Now, I do think they run into the buzzsaw that is JT Toppin and what's going on at Texas Tech. I'm also going to have to hope and assume that Texas Tech goes back to shooting three-pointers like they had all year mm-hmm. long. They could not shoot from the
Liberty
outside.
Didn't do it.
Right.
Liberty didn't do it against Oregon. They couldn't throw a rock in the ocean, but that's the volatility of shooting when you're talking about college
basketball. Especially when you get into the big arenas.
Yes.
When you have teams that are not used to playing in a big arena mm-hmm. and then they have to play, how does it affect their shot? But what I think is the most fun about this Sweet 16 is that as chalky as it has been, it is a
chalk
good...
Chalk are getting the better teams, though.
It's a good thing because of that. The matchups, when you run down the list of who is playing and the games that you are going to get, even, like, the worst game that you're going to get...
12 of the 16 teams are top 4 seeds.
Right. And you can make the argument. The worst game that you're going to get is the 3-10, Texas Tech versus Arkansas. Mm-hmm. That's John Calipari.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his fourth team he's taken to the Sweet 16.
And you're getting high-end talent.
You're getting a Texas Tech team that finished second in the Big 12?
I believe so.
They're a good team.
Yeah.
You know, look, BYU is electric this year. They run the ball up and they chuck. Mm-hmm. Alabama runs the ball up. The other thing, every style is different. Alabama runs up the ball and they chuck.
Kentucky-Tennessee is going to be the rock fight of rock fights. And you have one of the best defensive teams in the country, a very heavy upper-class team against a Kentucky team that is nothing but upperclassmen that was brought in by Pope when he took over Kentucky for Cal.
And they want to play fast. And for a Pope team, they actually play pretty good defense. Mm-hmm. That Williams kid was the difference in that Illinois game. Like, he was awesome.
I mean, look at the matchups that you have. You have these are your only upset matchups in the quote unquote upset of not being a 1-4 or 2-3.
Right.
Your upset matchup in the South is number one Auburn against number five Michigan.
Yeah. Okay. That's a Michigan team that won the Big Ten tournament.
A Michigan team that has a bunch of dudes on it. Okay?
A Michigan team that people were upset weren't a 3 seed.
And you're talking about Bruce Pearl against Dusty May. Great coaches. Ole Miss and Michigan State. So instead of a 2-3, it's a 2-6. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss is coached by the aforementioned Chris Beard. Michigan State is coached by Tom Izzo. Your 2-6 in the East, a BYU, Alabama.
And that BYU team chucks. Mm-hmm. And they were hitting all sorts of threes. Now, can they be volatile? 100%.
Yes. Yegor Gemin is, you're going, which version of him are you getting?
And when you shoot that many threes, it can go cold. And when it goes cold, it's bad. We saw it last year in the tournament when they played Duquesne, right? Mm-hmm. They couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Now, they're playing an Alabama team. What's Alabama under Nate Oates known for? Running fast, chucking threes, or chucking alley-oops. It's dunks, layups, or three-pointers with them, and they're going to go fast. They have a similar volatility issue where there's a chance that everyone's hitting their shots and this game is awesome. There's a shot that no one's hitting their shots. And if that happens, that could be just as fun because it's like, who's going to make the last bucket? Mm-hmm. Who's going to make the bucket that gets you the victory?
The only other upset special that you have in here is coming out of the West, Texas Tech 3 seed against 10 seeded Arkansas.
Right.
This thing is about as chalky as you're going to get.
Right. And this is an Arkansas team. Again, John Calipari is their coach. And if every player didn't get hurt, remember, when he got to Arizona, they couldn't have practice. People had either transferred out to go and leave with Muss, or they were hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of the more impressive coaching jobs that he's ever had.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that you notice from the teams that kind of push through. Obviously, the one seeds, they're all there. Not shocking. Everybody kind of, I think for the most part, most people had at least 3 1-seeds making the Final Four.
And there were some tests. Florida got tested. Auburn got tested in the first half. Mm-hmm. Houston got tested late. Played with their food with Gonzaga.
Yep.
I mean, Duke's just been Duke.
But again, look at the teams that are remaining. It's offense and it's coaching. Mm-hmm. You got 3 Kentucky against 2 Tennessee. You've got Rick Barnes against Pope. Houston and Purdue. You've got Painter against Sampson. And you've got multiple NBA prospects on both sides. Painter's one of my favorite coaches in all of college basketball.
Sam, the opposite. He drives me nuts.
Oh, he's one of the best and the brightest.
I'm not disputing that. I don't like the style he plays.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm not disputing. It's obvious that he has success. I don't like the slow style. I don't like that when Edie was there, it was
all game.
Yes, and it felt foul baity at times.
Sure, flipped because they have Braden Smith now, who's not.
Nope,
Zach Edey. He's a small guard.
And they're chucking.
Yes.
And so I get it.
He makes his adjustments to his players. So that's kind of what he does.
I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong. That's where I stand.
It's okay. Look, it is what it is. But this is, as much as we want the Cinderella runs, and I wish we did have a better one.
Yeah.
Our best Cinderella left is Arkansas.
Well, and that's, but again, that's what makes this fun, I think, in a different way. Because we always want the Cinderellas. But you know what sucks? On Elite Eight Saturday or Sunday?
When you don't have the juice.
When St. Peter's gets blown out by 40. Mm-hmm. That sucks. Yeah. That isn't fun for
us. I mean, what game in here feels like it's just like, look, there's spreads and then just there's feel. What game in this feels like it's going to go sideways?
Where one team gets blown out?
Do you see a game? Because I don't. Because I think Arkansas could be game against Texas Tech.
I see the possibilities. So BYU-Alabama, if either team isn't hitting. Because both teams are volatile.
But you're talking about like what if. Like, but if you're talking about just like...
Straight up looking at them.
Just average outcomes for teams.
I think Duke-Arizona could get out there.
That's the one.
I think Duke-Arizona could get out there. I think maybe Houston, Purdue, only because Houston is so physical.
I picked Florida to win the title because I did not think Cooper Flagg was going to return until at least this game.
That's why I took Houston.
With Cooper Flagg back, yep. If I could redo my bracket, because I have Florida playing Duke in the championship.
Yep.
I would flip. Same result, but I would flip the teams.
Yeah, no, this Duke team looks like a wagon. Doesn't mean they can't lose, but with what they've been doing, if you're not picking them to win, I don't know what you're looking at. Or you're trying to zag, and I appreciate a zag. My bracket has Houston winning. Why? Because they fit all the metrics in KenPom that can get them the victory, and not as many people are taking them because they're all taking Florida, Duke, or Auburn. That was my zag. And if you're zagging, that's fine. I can get behind that.
When we get back, we'll wrap up today's show with a little tribute to the best grill of all time. The sports world lost a legend in the ring and on the grill. George Foreman, unfortunately, passed over the weekend at 76 years old. But his grill will live forever. Why? Literally. Because it is unbreakable and it doesn't have an on-off switch.
I never put that together. As many times as I have used a George Foreman, I never put together that there is no on-off switch.
Two things that grill doesn't have: a temperature setting or an on-off switch.
It just goes and just goes.
You would think it would be like recalled or something, or like a national safety board or something, but it's basically idiot-proof because you don't have to worry about turning it on or off. You
right.
just have to worry about unplugging it and not cleaning it while it's hot, dummies. The number of people in the barracks who used to like, okay, I'm done, and take like one paper towel. I'm like, look, if you're going to do it, like take like 10.
Right.
That way, if you really set it on fire, it catches real fire very quickly.
The one that always cracks me up is on your shirt where it's like, do not iron while wearing.
Because somebody did. It's also like caution hot on the coffee because some idiot McDonald's sued. All right, that'll do it for us today. Will Ortner in for Dusty. He'll be here for the next couple of days filling in while Dusty is drinking all the mojitos and taking up all of the sun. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. Up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. Isaac and Zook, prime time coming at you. Thank you all so much. We'll catch you tomorrow, noon to 3 on Danny and Dusty. Talk soon. Bye.
And on Tuesday, she whacked it off.
It's a big dork off.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections. But you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.